Creator God, you lit the fires of the Big Bang, who set galaxies spinning, who exploded great stars to form the complex molecules that formed our solar system and our bodies. You who guided evolution toward greater consciousness and today is actively creating still. Open us to the awe and wonder of the abundance and beauty and diversity of life on this, our home planet. Open us to the valuing of all species that we may come to understand their part in your purpose. Open us to see all things as holy, and open us to listen to the way you communicate to us, not only through people and words, but also through the events of nature and through your creatures. We pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who taught us in parables from the natural world to teach us the kingdom of God. Amen. Please be seated. 2 years ago, I got in the mail this book. I had not ordered it. It just appeared. It's a hardbound book, and it just appeared in the mail here in the church. Later on Facebook, I started seeing all my colleagues, priests, who ordered this book, and everyone was wondering what it was. The book is called The Gospel Reset, Salvation Made Relevant by Ken Ham. Do you know Ken Ham? Someone here moaned. Ken Ham is the founder of the Creation Museum. He is a Christian literalist, and he believes that if we don't take literally the Bible as like literal truth, we are in jeopardy. And I wanted to share one of his points he makes, and he says, if Genesis, the book of the Bible, if Genesis cannot be trusted to be an accurate account of mankind's beginnings and the origin of sin and God's provision of salvation, then how can we trust it or any other book of the Bible when they make truth claims? And I truly feel, I live that. I remember as a young teen, I went to seminary when I was 19 and I started studying, and then the questions, Adam and Eve and the serpent and Noah's Ark, are metaphors, are symbols, our story. And I remember my faith shook. So everything I was taught is a lie. And I can understand people like this. They have a lot of money to send to all my priest friends. But they have a good backing. Today I wanted to address this issue of science and religion. This weekend it's called Evolution Weekend. A series of churches around the United States gather to talk and to encourage a conversation, or at least a thinking, is there any dramatic opposition? Is there a fight between faith and science? And I think it's a very important question to ask, because there is a small group of Christians who deny the validity of science. And we probably are aware that how dangerous that is. So I wanted to talk about it, and to the first reading of today's Deuteronomy said, I present to you, before you, choose life or death. And I think when we as Christians deny the reality of science, we might be choosing death. I think it's a very, very serious matter when we don't want to look at science because somehow it affects my faith and we discard it. It is a dangerous proposition. I want to acknowledge at the same time that science has not always been as truthful. People of color, we've had a hard time with science. Black people here in this country, in Tuskegee, were used by a medical profession to experiment on syphilis. In Puerto Rico, when birth control pills were being designed, where did they go to experiment with women? Puerto Rico. It's easier to test them without their knowledge. So science not has been, and I understand, science, some people have a certain distrust, and with reason. But I want to caution us that because of errors, just as everyone else, schools, churches, something wrong doesn't mean you have to throw it all away. So today, as we embark on this proposition I'm giving you, to consider the relationship between science and religion and faith. I like the second reading Paul told the people in Corinth, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. It's a beautiful image because Paul was saying, some people need to be fed first with milk, and then to be able to be fed with solid food. We're babies. I think religion and faith in the interpretation of Holy Scriptures is an evolution. I remember my own personal journey. Yeah, I believed everything literally true. But to be honest, it was a difficult transition when I started questioning, and this doesn't make any sense. Cain, where did he get married to? There was no other, weren't they the first one? All these questions we have as young people. But once I delve into those questions and understood them not as literal, historical, scientific teachings, but as truth in a deeper level, spiritual level, it made my own life and faith much more deeper and profound, I think. We also heard today Jesus saying four times, this is a difficult gospel. I acknowledge that. I'm not going to go into all the little details. I imagine many of you have questions. But in general, what Jesus is saying, over four times he says, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, but I say to you. What Jesus is saying, you cannot remain in a literal understanding of Scripture. He says, in the first, don't commit murder. Jesus is saying, you can't leave it there. Jesus is saying, go deeper. There's a more profound, if you just say, I don't kill anybody, I'm good. Jesus is saying, no, no, examine your heart. How does your heart, how does you relate to each other? Jesus is saying, even if you have hatred and anger, that is a problem. You should be aware of it. So Jesus is inviting his disciples to take the literal meaning of the Bible and then go deeper. And he uses it with adultery, murder, and all the ones. And even what he said, if a part of your body is, what did he say? Offensive, what do you do?
Cut it off.
I see everybody here with two eyes and arms and legs. I think some of you shouldn't have legs or arms or heads or ears, right? We don't take it literally, thank God. Imagine that. If we took it literally, we'd have a little bit of massacre here. So definitely a literal understanding does not go to the depth, to the heart of the message that Jesus is saying. There were saints who took it literally. One of them took it literally, and he castrated himself. That is not what Jesus is saying. This year marks the 15th annual Evolution Weekend that I mentioned to you. It's an opportunity for serious discussion and reflection on the relationship between religion and science, and especially to wonder if a literal understanding of the Bible is accurate, life-giving. We at Emmanuel are joining 21 other Episcopal churches and 204 other churches and faith communities this year in this commemoration. And Evolution Weekend is the Sunday closest to February 12th, which is the birth of Charles Darwin. Exactly. So it is today the Sunday closest to Charles Darwin. And I think to look at Charles Darwin, a lot of people of faith, oh, Charles Darwin is a devil. Charles Darwin was an Anglican. His parents were Unitarian Universalists. He married his wife, who was a very devout Anglican. He went to university. He wanted to be a clergyman. He had a very literalist belief in the Bible. What Genesis said was literally truth. When he went out in his investigations, he didn't go to the clerical route of formation. He became a scientist, a biologist. And he went, this famous voyage on the Beagle around South America, studying all these species. He had a conflict. His literal understanding of the scriptures and what he was seeing. And those don't match. And he had a crisis of faith. He never became an atheist. He said, there's a lot of debate about it, but at the end of his life, what he said, I'm an agnostic. But nevertheless, he kept very closely related to his home parish. He didn't go to services. His wife and his children went to church on Sunday. He went out and did a hike. But he was very close friends with a priest. He helped raise funds for his parish. He helped with renovations of the church. He was a man that, even though he couldn't say, I'm a Christian anymore, but he respected and valued. But I think it's a tragic reality, this man, because of a literal understanding of his scripture and what he discovered in science, he couldn't reconcile that. And I think it is a waste of time. We don't have to go there. If we are able to look at scripture, not in a literal way, we are relieved of so much anguish and disappointment. A group of clergy people of different traditions, Christian, Jewish, Unitarian Universalist, Buddhist, and Humanist, each of those groups wrote a letter, and it has been signed so far by 17,200 clergy people. And I would like to share with you the letter written by the Christian clergy around religion and science. It's called An Open Letter Concerning Religion and Science from Christian Clergy. And it says this. When the community of Christian believers, there are areas of dispute and disagreement, including the proper way to interpret Holy Scripture. While virtually all Christians take the Bible seriously and hold it to be authoritative in matters of faith and practice, the overwhelming majority do not read the Bible literally, as they would a science textbook. Many of the beloved stories found in the Bible, the creation, Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, convey timeless truth about God, human beings, and the proper relationship between Creator and creation, expressed in the only form capable of transmitting these truths from generation to generation. Religious truth is of a different order from scientific truth. Its purpose is not to convey scientific information, but to transform hearts. We, the undersigned Christian clergy from many different traditions, believe that the timeless truths of the Bible and the discoveries of modern science may comfortably coexist. We believe that the theory of evolution is a foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to rigorous scrutiny and upon which much of human knowledge and achievement rests. To reject this truth or to treat it as one theory among others is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. We believe that among God's good gifts are human minds capable of critical thought, and that the failure to fully employ this gift is a rejection of the will of our Creator. To argue that God's loving plan of salvation for humanity precludes the full employment of the God-given faculty of reason is to attempt to limit God, an act of hubris. We urge school board members to preserve the integrity of the science curriculum by affirming the teaching of the theory of evolution as a core component of human knowledge. We ask that science remain science and that religion remain religion, two very different but complementary forms of truth. That's the end of the letter. And I think it's important to listen to it at least. Someone here might disagree with that. The Episcopal Church has stated some of these things. In 1918, the Episcopal Church met in General Convention and affirmed its belief in the, I like these, this phrase, in the glorious ability of God to create in any manner, and in this affirmation rejects the rigid dogmatism of the creationist movement and supports scientists, educators, and theologians in the search for truth in this creation that God has given and entrusted to us. In 2006, again, General Convention of the Episcopal Church said that the theory of evolution provides a fruitful and unifying scientific explanation for the emergence of life on Earth, that many theological interpretations of origins can readily embrace an evolutionary outlook, and that an acceptance of evolution is entirely compatible with an authentic and living Christian faith. And in 2012, again, General Convention affirmed that there is no inherent contradiction between holding and practicing the Christian faith and practicing or utilizing the outcomes of science and medicine, that in God's physical universe, the proper practice of science cannot and does not automatically lead its practitioners or others to lose faith in God or to be led into beliefs that contradict the existence of God, that the methods of science when applied to a search for truth contribute to our understanding of God's creation, such that we should use scientific information after diligence as to acceptance among scientific peers and relevant disciplines to inform and augment our understanding of God's creation and to aid the church in developing Christian programs and policies consistent with our faith and our understanding of God's creation and our stewardship of it. Just wanted to share these couple of documents, statements from our General Convention, just to see what is the position of the Episcopal Church. And to encourage you to think about these matters who are so important. If we as a country, the United States specifically, Christians sadly are going against scientific climate change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You all know what is the list. That is problematic. And I think at the end, who we truly lose is us. The Christian faith becomes a ridicule of what it is. Sadly so. I would like to end by upholding a figure that I love. His name is Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Some of you know him? Pierre de Teilhard de Chardin is a wonderful guy. He was a Jesuit priest. He was a French. He was a paleontologist and a theologian. And he battled that. He lived his scientific. He was a paleontologist excavating fossils, and he was a theologian, a man of deep faith. And he held those two. And it was not an easy task. He was condemned. He was silenced. He was sent to the west of China to keep quiet. There he had the ability to investigate and dig up, and he was part of the discovery of the Peking Man, one of the hominines. Hominines, you say? Hominins? Yeah. So all that, he was part of that. And he was silenced by the church because the church could not understand how can you reconcile science and your faith. But he was a man who was able to do so. And I'm proudly acknowledging that he is part of our calendar of saints in the Episcopal Church. His feast is April 10th. And in our calendar of saints, this is a little description of his contribution of holding the two sides of his faith and science, not in battle, but in unity. Our great cloud of witness, our saints book says, Teilhard developed a vision of creation which held that evolution was the process by which matter inexorably arranges itself toward greater and greater complexity until recognizable consciousness emerges. And I like this phrase. For Teilhard, this described a continuing process of evolution that moves towards a new level of consciousness in which the universe will come to perfect unity and find itself one with God. God then is the highest point of pure consciousness, always pulling the evolutionary process towards its promised destiny, which he called the Omega Point. Let us pray. Eternal God, the whole cosmos sings of your glory, from the dividing of a single cell to the vast expanse of interstellar space. We bless you for your theologian and scientist, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who perceived the divine and the evolving creation. Enable us to become faithful stewards of your divine works and heirs of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.